when churches jump quickly from one fad to another. And I'll tell you how it happens. It's so sad. It happens very often in the transition among pastors, because it's hard for pastors to make that shift. So the pastor leaves and somebody says, let's get a guy who's on the new edge. He comes in. These guys are very ambitious. They want to build a mega church. All their heroes have big, big, big effective deals. They come in. They can't pull it off in their town, you know, Visalia or Hocus Pocus, Texas. They can't pull it off. So they shred the church in a year or two, and then they leave. And then the church is sitting there, having been led down the primrose path like the Pied Piper, and they've all walked off the end of the pier, and they don't know where to go. That's the scenario. But what holds the church is that strong, strong biblical doctrinal foundation. And if it's not there, it's very hard to prevent those trendy things from captivating people. And they do it with good intention. We're going to win more, reach more, and all that.
Let me ask you one last question and kind of give you an opportunity to answer this at length in any detail you want. You can sort of
I answer
preach.
Everything at length, don't I?
But I want you to preach here, because I want to ask you about the perspicuity of Scripture, the clarity of Scripture. You started by characterizing the emerging church movement as a movement that is infatuated with mystery, that has elevated ambiguity. I think it was Brian McLaren who said, clarity is overrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you don't feel that way. And in fact, I would say probably the outstanding thing about your preaching and my assessment would be the clarity with which you teach. And you've told me many times that that's because you believe Scripture itself speaks clearly. Tell us what Scripture says about its own perspicuity.
There are a lot of telling texts, but I'll just give you one little insight into that. Jesus comes into his ministry, and he starts to teach and speak to the crowds in Israel. And he says things to them like this: have you not read? Have you not heard what Scripture says? Do you not understand the Scripture? And he indicts them again and again and again for their failure to understand the Old Testament and therefore to see its fulfillment in him. He doesn't say to them, oh, look, I know why you're having a really tough time with me, because the Old Testament is so hard to understand. There's so much mystery there. Why would I ever expect you to understand that I'm the fulfillment of that? He never says that. He says, he indicts them, search the Scriptures. They are they which speak of me. What's wrong with you? It's as clear as it can be. We would look at